The only thing he does is tempt. Try to deceive. And upon those two, he goes for accusation. But as they say, okay, I will just enjoy you, he does not have the power. In himself, he doesn't. So sometimes I say, nobody's doing anything to you. There was a time I was ill like that when I was in Lagos, years ago. In fact, till now, anytime I'm not feeling well, that is how I treat it. Just settle down and take a book, the Word of God, and just start reading. Just carry Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, Two Kinds of Faith, just start reading it. Because that's where your life came from, the Word of God. Just start reading. It's not any, you're just connecting. You're just reconnect. That's all. I just put, I was talking about technology. 32 gig on the phone. What is it doing more than storing the Word of God? You just tap it. Boom. In fact, I have some messages I used to encourage myself. You know, there are messages you used to encourage yourself. There's one I played the other day. That was just about three. I woke up early in the morning. I put it on. One full hour. It was nice. Because I just slept for a long time. So I was able to lie down here through and through. Answering the call by Kenneth Hagin. Simple word. No, it just encourages you in ministry. It makes you more anointed than before. I have messages like that. I have a series on praise and thanksgiving. No. The praise cure. Things like that. You know, those messages that he's not really teaching much. He's just talking and talking and talking. As he's talking, life is just flowing into you. There are messages like that. You take a man like Derek Prince, aggressive prayer. You just listen to it. If you were sick before, you will get well. You know, some sicknesses that don't like the word. Most of them. Well, you've not prayed about them. Just say, I have migraine. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. And listen to a simple message that's teaching on the second coming of Christ. You wake up, say, migraine, I told you to stay. Say, oh God, that your head is not a good place. I'm sitting in the side where the word is coming from. The sickness will just go by itself. Why? It's because life is being injected. That's what we're talking about. We're created by the word. We are sustained by the word. That's what I'm saying. In fact, I should have started with that statement. All my physics at the beginning will have been easier to understand. We're created by the word, and we are sustained by the word. So what is prayer? To find the same word that created everything in your life. Prayer is to take it and, how do I say it? He said, once he has spoken. What did he say? What did he say? Twice I have heard it. Now, let's look at it like this. Once he spoke, good. The first time I heard it, I was created. The second time is for sustainers. Are you getting my point? Once he speaks, that same word, he doesn't have to say, it's not another word, it's the same word. That same word, he said, I looked at you and I said, leave. I saw you in your blood and I said to you, leave. It means anytime I'm falling back to what I used to be, I go back to that word and hear it again. Leave. Once he has spoken, twice I have heard it. The first time is the time he said, leave. And I got up from where I was dead. Then anytime I want to collapse back, I hear it again. That second time is a constant hearing. So there is a word, like I say, why do we have food to eat? It is not because we know how to walk. It's because the Heavenly Father sustains us. Are you getting my point? So if there's no food to eat, therefore, God didn't forget his job. It is not as if the sustaining power of God has disappeared. Is the connection. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what do? We go back and reconnect. No. As believers, let's take finance as an example. We have learned enough word about finances now to know that it's not asking God for money that brings money. It is taking the word that he has spoken upon which we began to pray in the first place and lift that word up all the time. That's what brings money. So if I'm broke, I say, why am I broke? It's because I have disconnected with the word that says the child of God will not lack anything good. Like I said, experiences don't disprove the word. It only proves that we have disconnected from the word. Do you follow my point? So if God says something about you, you are not experiencing the way he said it, it doesn't mean that he doesn't know what he's saying. Or he didn't say it correctly. It only means that you have disconnected, you have been attacked. It's now your duty now to reconnect and sustain ourselves by that word. So anytime there is a, you know, death process, it's a sign. It's a sign. That's why I gave the example of the man. Today you injure your eye. Tomorrow fall down from the bed. Tomorrow, you know, you fall down inside gutter as an adult. You know, stuff like that. Ah, and I say, so enemies are pursuing me. No, no, no. These are angels tapping you. So, boy, you are too busy. Oh, boy, you are not feeding well. Oh, girl, come back. Relax. Take the word of success. Believers don't succeed because they know how to hustle. No. How did Jabez succeed? Is the prayer. Like I said, when you pray, you ask for what? Daily bread. I was teaching something in my corridor that day. Very funny. You know, the man Jabez, he did very well. He built one mighty company, you know. What they call it? Jabez Holdings. Under Jabez Holdings, there were all kinds of companies. There's Jabez Foods, Jabez Transport, Jabez Communications, all kinds of things. Man made a lot of money. But that's how he did do it. He will now open, people will now be writing books on the Jabez principles of business success. Jabez wakes up early. Jabez knows people. Jabez employs the best staff. All of these things, lies. Why did Jabez succeed? Because he went and prayed, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed." That's a matter of fact. How did Jotham succeed? You go there, you see Jotham Group of Companies, worth $75 billion. They now write lying books, investment principles of Jotham. You know, accounting principles of Jotham. Are those things wrong? No. They are in themselves. They are called pillars of success. But the foundation, he were not there. The man prospered because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. I'm trying to emphasize something. So Christians don't succeed by the outward things. They succeed because the word has come into their lives. And that word produces. What if he doesn't know accounting? The word will teach him accounting. What if he does not know people? The word will bring connections. What if he has a bad location? The word will move into a good location or change his location to the good one. You know, the word can redirect traffic. Yes. Say one old woman once, she heard that if you speak to a mountain, it will move. And there was one mountain near her house. So she spoke to the mountain. This mountain move. Did the mountain move? Yes, it did. How did it move is the question. One day they were doing construction somewhere. They were looking for earth to fill somewhere. So can we remove this hill near your house? How much will you pay? So Julius Berger, whoever came, evacuated all the sand there, and that's how the mountain became a plain ground, as if the rubber bear was coming. What I'm trying to say, so the word knows how to arrange things. That's what I'm going to emphasize by that. The word knows how to arrange things. It knows how to arrange things. So Christians, we are having issues, the word of God teaches us, that is because of disconnection. So what is prayer? We're talking about effective prayer. Effective prayer is that which word produced me? That's the first hearing. To be sustained, I hear it what? A second time. Let me just say this again, even though I've said it so many times. The word does not always, you know, when I was a younger person, I used to think that you hear scripture, then if you taught and you didn't tell me, do this, do this, do this, do this, I felt that the message was not complete. But I now found out later, no, it doesn't work like that. You can hear a word which does not have any explanation. Like God telling Abraham, a father of many nations I have made you. He didn't tell him what to do with Sarah or anything. Just a father of many nations I have made you. The word can work out the details. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 says the word is alive and what? Active. That's why Isaiah 34 tells us that if the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit will go out and go and gather. Are you getting my point? That is, a man can suddenly from being poor become very rich just by reading, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. He just lie down and says, be fruitful. That's the word. Multiply. That's the word. As he's abide believing, he said, this is what the word says. And listen, it's not as if I have used that scripture, and it's not working again. You hear what I said? Yeah, increase the dose. You increase the dose. That's why God doesn't bring us a new Bible every day. What he does, look, for each season, if he gives you a word, hold on to that word until the new season comes. Please go and listen to this series, the message by Derek Prince, Aggressive Prayer. Talks about Holy Spirit-inspired prayers, targeted. Just a simple word based on scripture. And he will pray the same prayer over a situation for weeks, for months, until that situation cracks. That's what Christian prayer is. Christian prayer is not the ability to shake your head. No. You say, which word brought me here? Let me take that word and continue on it. If things are not working the way they're supposed to be working, it's because there's been a disconnection. So I reconnect with the word. Thank God for Miles Monroe, who taught us that thing. That anywhere you came out from, you must be connected with it for you to do what? To live. Let's rise to our feet. I want to read some scriptures. There are two of them I came with, so let's just good time to read them now. I want us to read two Psalms, 91 and 121, and maybe we'll read 123. Let's just start with one of them, 91. Like I said, the word doesn't, it's not about making sense, it's just about receiving it. Psalm 91. Let's do it the way we did it last time. What we're just doing, that's what prayer is. I said it before, prayer is not what you are thinking. Prayer is what God has thought of. Are you getting my point? Yes, prayer is what he has spoken. That's what prayer is. It's taking what he has spoken and putting it on your own lips. It's making the word of God your own word. It said the angels hearken to the voice of his word. That is, he spoke it. That's not just what they're hearkening to. It's the voice of his word. There's a reason why he used that expression. The angels that hearken to the voice of his word. That is, anytime they hear the word, even if it's not coming directly from the mouth of God, they still hearken. I hope you're getting my point here. So if prayer is making your voice the word of God that's coming through you, that's what prayer is. It's all giving your voice to God's word. It's putting God's word into your heart so that when you open your mouth, the word of God comes out. That's it. These days, if there's a situation, I get notified of a situation. The first thing I do is two things I do. I think I mentioned it here before. Two things. One, what did God say about it? What's the word of God about it? And what is his name in that area? Because he said he has exalted his word together with his name. That's both of them go together. You understand? Both of them go together. What did he say? What is his name? Those two things, we put them up. That's what prayer is. I think we have done a lot of disservice to ourselves. A lot of times, just looking for words to use to magnify our problems. Claiming we are praying to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That you spend 1 hour telling God what is going on. And he's saying that, I think this boy thinks I'm not aware. No, there's a reason why Jesus said, your father knows already. Yeah, there's a reason why he said it. He said, before you come to prayer, he knows. So describing in details what is going on, it's almost like telling that, I know you are not aware. You've been around Jerusalem. You're not there when they were crucifying Jesus. Let me explain what happened to you. We're not supposed to spend 1 hour describing our problems, then spend 5 minutes telling him what we want him to do. They will not do the token gratitude, thanksgiving. So anytime you pray, you must end it with what? Thanksgiving. Say, Father, I thank you because you know you have heard. And God said, I heard. 1 hour of complaint. But it's supposed to be, yes, like I said, when you want to tell God things, it's dismissive. Prayer is supposed to be, what to stay on is, what did he say about it? Look at the way those guys played in the book of Acts. He said, Lord, though, You that said this. Now behold, they are threatening. One single statement about the problem. It's not, Lord, they flogged me. Peter, bring your back. Let me count the number of strokes that they gave Peter. 1, 2, 3. Lord, I hope you are noting it. What are you going to do? They are our enemies. Who is they? James, did they beat you? Yeah, James, come. Turn your back for the Lord to see. He said, Lord, behold, they are threatening. Now this is what we want you to do. Just do miracles, signs, when we mention the name of Jesus. That was the end of prayer. I think too many details in prayer, they spoil something sometimes. Let's read God's word to him. That's what prayer is. That's what I understand now. Psalm 91, let's just read it. When we finish that, we'll go to Psalm 121. And then maybe we'll get to the other one too. Now, 91, I'll read verse 1. Then please you read verse 2. And then we'll read verse 16 together when we get there. Verse 1, I read, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Please notice that verse 2. I like King James says, I will say of the Lord. And I like that because he's telling God, remember we said, there's what he has spoken, there is his name. Two of them are what? Magnified together. He says, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Most High, you are bound under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what he said. Now, this is his name in that area. My refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's his name. That's a name. We magnify that name. Let's continue reading. It says, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is his shield and bulwark. Verse 5. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Say amen first.
Amen.
Verse 8 now says what? You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. As a result, verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Can we just take a minute, just personalize verse 10. Say to yourself, no evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Say it again. No evil will befall me or my household. No plague will come near my dwelling. He said, for he will give his angels charge concerning you. Say amen, please.
Amen.
And they will guard you in all your ways.
Amen.
Verse 12. They will bear me up in their hands, that I will not dash my foot against a stone. Read verse 12 again in a personal way. They will bear me up in their hands, that I do not dash my foot against a stone. Now you will say amen to this. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra.
Amen.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample down.
Amen.
Now verse 14, let's read together. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up securely on high, because he has known my name. Now let's reverse it and personalize. Say, I have loved the Lord. Repeat it.
He will deliver me.
He will set me up on high,
where I will be secure.
I have known his name. Verse 15, let me read verse 15 to you. Say, you will call upon him and he will answer you.
Amen.
He will be with you in trouble.
Amen.
He will rescue you and honor you.
Amen.
And let me read 16 to you so you can say, with a long life he will satisfy you.
Amen.
And will let you see his salvation.
Amen.
Now let's personalize 16 together. With a long life, he will satisfy me and will make me see his salvation. That is that's prayer. We are praying this evening. Are you getting my point? Listen, I say it all the time. There is a word that covers every situation of your life. There is. You are not existing by chance. Do you understand my point? And God made provision. It's like you are traveling. You send your son, okay, go somewhere. He's traveling. So you give him, all right, when you get to Onitsha, you need to eat. You give him money first, you give him transport money, with which he will pay from here to, he's going to Lagos. Then by the time he gets to Onitsha, he'll be hungry. So buy something when they stop. When you get to Ore, buy something. When you get to Jebu, then when you get to Lagos, call Uber. This amount they are going to charge you. Are you getting my point? You pay. You made that provision for that journey. Why? You sent the person. When God wanted to send provisions for you and for me, you know what he did? He packaged his word. That's the provision. That is the provision. That's why we don't play with it. That's why we can't afford to play with it. I was talking about the Roman road earlier. That's why the devices around us, let's fill our lives with the word of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, let's fill it, because that is what you need when it's time to pray. That's what you need. That's what you need. If your child comes to you with a complaint, you pray with the word. If you have a complaint, you pray with the word. You know, the other day, my son came and said that he thinks our puppy is sick. He's not feeling well. So I asked him what happened. He told me. I said, okay, I'm coming to see. But I remember as soon as he left, first thing I did was that, what does the Bible say about my dog? I'm not kidding. As soon as he left, my mind just said, what did the Lord say about my dog? One scripture came to my mind. He perfects all things that concern me. That's it. All things. Once it concerns me, the Lord perfects it. So I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, healing for my puppy. Yeah, that's it. I told you that day, I just got a call. I just got a message. This brother was kidnapped. The first thing I said, Lord, what did you say about it? A scripture just swept, it's as if something just swam into my head. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. That's how we pray. Prayer is not shouting. No, it's not shouting. Look, the only time Jesus raised his voice was at the tomb of Lazarus. And he said, I want everybody to hear the prayer. Otherwise, he will have whispered to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus will come out. People won't know why he came out. Prayer is not about shouting. We know what fasting is now, don't we? But prayer is not about you, either you're hungry or you're not hungry. Hannah, one of the major prayer results we see in scripture, the Bible says she rose up after eating and drinking and went to pray. And she got there, she was so silent that they thought she was drunk because her mouth was moving and the old man did not hear anything. So he assumed that she was drunk. I hope you're following my point here. Prayer is what did God say about it? What he has spoken and his name in that area is what we lift up. We lift those two things up and that's when we say we are praying. That's why we can repeat the same thing again and again and it's not vain repetition. If you are describing your situation, God says, are you saying I'm not aware of it? Jesus specifically said, the Father knows before you ask. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Let's just repeat a few scriptures there again before we go. Let me just pick a few verses. You understand? I think it's good for us to just repeat it to ourselves. Let's just say it again. Say, the Lord is my refuge.
The Lord is my refuge.
My fortress.
My fortress.
My God in whom I trust.
My God in whom I trust.
He delivers me from traps.
He delivers me from traps.
And he delivers me from the deadly pestilence.
And he delivers me from the deadly pestilence.
Say, I will not be afraid of the terror by day. Or the bullet that flies by night. Say, 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 may fall at my right hand. It will not come near me. Say, it will not come near me. Say, I have made the Lord my refuge. Say, the Most High is my dwelling place. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. Say, no plague will come near my dwelling place. Say, he has given his angels charge concerning me. They will keep me in all my ways. They will bear me up in their hands. And I will not injure my foot. I will tread upon the lion and the dangerous serpent. And they will not harm me. Because I have loved the Lord. Say, I profess my love for the Lord. And I know he will deliver me. I will call upon him. And he will answer me. He will rescue me in the time of trouble. With long life he will satisfy me. And I will experience his salvation. Like the reference we say, if you believe it, you should give thanks. Let's just take a minute and just say, Father, we thank you. Just thank you for these words. If you really believe, you should be grateful. That is the supply. That's what he has supplied to help you. That is the supply he has provided. That is the provision he has to keep you. That is the provision. Let's just take a minute and just say thank you. That is the provision. That is the provision. That is the provision. That is the provision. Let's just give him thanks. Just appreciate him for each of those statements that you made just now. Now, can we quickly flip over to Psalm 121? I said we're going to read that also. We'll just read those few psalms and then we are done for the day. I enjoy reading the book of Psalms because they are the prayers of the Lord Jesus. Now, before we read it, I just want to read something out. And verse 1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. I read a number of commentaries. They said it's actually a kind of, how do I say it? What was being said is, will I lift up my eyes to the mountains? That no, that's not what I'm going to do, because my help actually comes from the Lord. You understand? Okay, let me give an example now. I'll read that one from New Living Translation. He said, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? That is, there's no point looking around at the mountains. My help does not come from there. Are you getting my point? Good, I think it's good. Let me read that verse 1 in New Living Translation, and we'll go on together like we did the other time and end in verse 8, all right? Now, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Verse 2, read together. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 3, I want you to say amen to this. He will not allow your foot to slip.
Amen.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Amen.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Amen.
That is, he will not forget to keep you.
Amen.
He will not for a moment look away.
Amen.
He will not allow your foot to slip.
Amen.
Now verse 4, let's read together. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
Amen.
Let's read verse 6. Personalize verse 6. The sun will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Now, I used to wonder, what does this mean? You know, for a long time, I said, what is sun smiting me by day? That one I can understand the sun dehydrating you by day. But what about the moon by night? Then one day I said, oh. He said, he will not leave you defenseless. He will not leave you without shelter. The man that the moon is smiting by night is sleeping in the open. I said, oh, is that, you know, for a long time I was like, what is moon smiting you by night? Is moon painful? You know, you want to go and put your hand out, moon smite it, let me see what is this moon thing is. Then one day I was just thinking about it, I said, oh, it is easy now. He was just saying that he will not leave you without shelter. If the moon is smiting you by night, it means, you know, have you read this joke before? One man and his son went out camping. So at night, the father woke the boy up. Say, what do you see? The boy, being a very intelligent physics student, he said, I see constellation of stars. I see this, I see that. The father said, shut up. Somebody stole our tent. You understand? That for you to be seeing the stars, we are supposed to be sleeping under a tent. The boy was, he fixed this, he learned in school, he practiced on his father. So I said, when he says that the moon will not smite you by night, what was he saying? Don't worry, God will never leave you without shelter.
Amen.
He will never leave you without protection.
Amen.
That's what he was saying. All right, so let's read it together. The sun will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Now hear the word of the Lord. The Lord will protect you from all evil.
Amen.
He will keep your soul.
Amen.
Together, personalize verse 8. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in from this time forth and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anytime you travel, safety is your portion.
Amen.
Sometimes people are traveling, they want to cover the road with the blood of Jesus. I've never done it. I don't know why people do it. I don't think it's good praying. If you like, do that. But really, don't pour the blood of Jesus on the road. It's not good. I don't think it's a nice idea. You know, sure. Shouldn't do that. I should have respect for things. Pour the blood of Jesus on the road. Then you now, your driver will not drive over it. Is it good? You say, check him. Are you getting my point? No, when you are traveling, just leave the word of God up, all right? The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. That is the word of the Lord. Are you getting my point? That is the word of the Lord. It's not about pouring the blood of Jesus on the road. The blood of Jesus is poured over people's hearts. It cleanses our consciences. That's what it does. You sprinkle the blood on the, you know, on the holy place. All right. When it comes to us, we sprinkle it over our ears, over our heart. That's the place they used to apply the blood. It's on people. Okay. Not by, you know, say all my enemies, the blood of Jesus. That's not good. They're going to get saved. Are you getting my point? And that's it. You'll be cleansing them. You know the one we say all the time. It was all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. That's why they are tormenting you. The guys are getting more anointed every day. Are you getting my point? The person that needs the fire of the Holy Spirit is who? Is you. Let me prophesy for you. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
And me too, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's where we need it, all right? The blood of Jesus on you.
Amen.
On your heart.
Amen.
In every part of your body.
Amen.
Cleanses you from all sins.
Amen.
cleanses you from all effect of sins.
Amen.
Cleanses you of all afflictions.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is upon you.
Amen.
It's upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't pour it on the road. It's not good. All right, the Lord is good. What do you do when you are traveling? Just lift up this word. It's simple. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. It's God's that's God's provision. You want to fly. People say, hey, flying is dangerous. Don't make statements like that. Flying is not dangerous. Okay? It's only dangerous if you're a witch and you're flying across my compound. If you're not a witch flying across my compound, flying is a safe thing. Enter a plane. Let her carry you somewhere. Okay? Don't be afraid. All right, but how do you cure fear? It's not, I determine I'll not be afraid. That you say flying is not dangerous. No, it's not like that. What you simply do before you enter the plane, say, the Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. That's the word of God. That will help the pilot. It will help the flight engineer. All right, you are a savior. Are you getting my point? I mean, if you say flying is dangerous, you should fly more often to save those who might die. You get my point? Before you go in, you declare the word of God. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. That's how, that's God's provision for protection. I hope you're getting my point here. You know, many people, when they want to travel, you know, somebody will give them something. I remember the story Pastor E. Adeboye told, how he gave his life to Christ. He bought a car, had an accident. Now he go meet, no, I think he bought the car. And now, one man now came and said, let me give you something to tie on the stairs so you won't have accident. Now the guy jammed a few times in about 1 week. I tell the Baba, this is not working. But people actually do that, you know. They hang things, you know. And some of us who are Christians, we use a lot of religious symbols. We put fan front, we put rosary, we put cross, we put... So we just put Bible there. As if the witch wants to read your Bible. And he wants to tumble your car. It is the word that you have spoken. What is keeping you alive is the word of God.
Yes.
Once he has spoken, twice you hear it. Are you getting my point? So when it's time to travel, you hear it a second time. You declare it. Put it upon your lips. And you say, Father, I thank you. I'm about to set on my journey. It is written, the Lord will protect me from all evil. He will keep my soul. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in from this time forth and forever in the name of Jesus. Amen. That is the protection of God. The word of God is not advice. So. It's not good feeling. It's God's weapon to create things around you. That word can spoil a road somewhere so that you won't pass it. Yeah. The word works. To just get up, the word will just break a tree. Cross the road. The driver will reach there. See what happens? Say, ah, tree don't follow. You'll be forced to turn and go and pass somewhere else. Listen, many times you've been delivered, you don't even know there was trouble.
Yeah.
The word does not always brag. Now I delivered it to you. Did you see that bullet fly past? Vroom! Say, oh, praise the Lord. The bullet passed through my cap. Look at the hole. And it's so you know, so dramatic. And this is good. We thank the Lord for such things. But the fact is that most of the times bullets will miss you, you won't even know anybody shot. I remember one cartoon somebody drew once. A man was walking down. He didn't know the stairs were missing. That the steps on the flight of stairs was missing. So, of course, he kept on walking. The Lord just put a hand there. He stepped on the Lord's hand and kept on walking. He will not testify and say, I climbed down today and I did not die. But he won't know that he stepped over where flights were, you know, steps were broken. But when he just got there, the Lord just wanted to bear him up where? In your hands. So he won't dash his foot against a flight of stairs. And the guy will just walk past. Listen, for climbing up here, God was watching you.
Amen.
And you are going back home, he's still watching you.
Amen.
Safety is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word of God is divine protection. That's what it is. It's God's provision for every part of our lives. Let's read the last one and then we'll close quickly. Psalm 123. This is how you will pray, Christians. Remember we said, your Bible must be your companion. Read it all the time. Read it all the time. Psalm 123. I love this psalm. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Again, we'll do just as I've been doing. I read verse 1, then we'll read 2 together. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he is gracious to us. Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us. For we are greatly filled with contempt. People hate us, you know. Our soul is greatly... Okay, verse 4. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. I said something to us some time ago that anytime you say a prayer, especially like in the book of Psalms, that's a prayer of Jesus and the Lord has answered him. Amen. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
That is for you, it's a done deal. So you say, the Lord is gracious to me. Declare it.
The Lord is gracious to me.
Because Jesus said, be gracious to us. Are you getting my point? And so we are receiving the answer. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The Lord is gracious to me.
He has comforted me.
You know, he said here, we are greatly filled with contempt. What the Lord does is to give us comfort.
Yes.
The Lord has comforted you.
Amen.
Now, I want you to say amen to that.
Amen.
The Lord has comforted you.
Amen.
What he just says is that keep your eyes on me. Don't keep your eyes anywhere else. Some people, their eyes are on, you know, some other things. How do I prosper? I need a visa. I need to go somewhere. I need to know somebody. That is why the comfort of God is not coming into their lives. Are you getting my point? If you keep your eyes on the Lord, I have the word of God for you. Comfort will come into your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, it will. You say, okay, how do I keep my eyes on him? Simple. Wherever your eyes were on before, go and pray and say, Lord, my eyes have been on this mountain. Now I confess that I remove my eyes from there. That's it. And the one thing you used to do every day before in trying to achieve something, doesn't do it for 1 week. Maybe somebody says that you need to drop application. Say, this 1 week, oh. In fact, how many have I dropped? I've dropped 7. I'm not dropping application again. Say, call this man. He knows somebody in that company. That becomes the sacrifice of praise. Like Jesus will say, that becomes your sacrifice of praise. You refuse to call somebody. Say, call him. He will help. Say, I'm not saying he won't help, but I'm just saying I will not call. Why are you not calling? That's just my sign of faith. Somebody will call you foolish. If they never called you foolish, because of faith, you're not close to a breakthrough yet. The more they abuse you, the better your life will be. I'm telling the truth. Because if you are doing everything everybody is doing, what's the sign that you believe? Are you getting my point here?
Yes,
let's give the Lord thanks so we can go home. Just say, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the provision. We say his word is provision. Thank you for the provision. Say, Lord, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. My eyes, Lord, are on you. My eyes are on you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. My eyes are on you. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks for everything that he has provided. The source of life, which is his word. Give him thanks for it. Before we share the grace, I just want us to do something. Let us declare the word of God over our country, over our state, over our region here. All right? Just say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We receive peace for this country.
We receive peace for this country.
Because we are the salt of the earth.
Because we are the salt of the earth.
So we speak to Nigeria.
We speak to Eastern Nigeria.
We speak to Enugu State.
Receive the peace of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, every spirit of disturbance.
Every spirit of disturbance.
Every spirit of disharmony.
Every spirit of confusion,
by the authority of Christ Jesus,
as the people of God,
we cast you out
in the name of Jesus.
Say, we pronounce prosperity upon Nigeria. We pronounce order upon Nigeria.
We pronounce
the peace of God upon this nation. We pronounce the unity of the Spirit.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now let's summarize it by saying,
will of God
be done.
Say,
there will be freedom to preach
into every corner of Nigeria.
The word of God will progress.
It will prosper.
It will increase.
It will overcome all.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Add one for yourself. Say, and I will be blessed in it.
Say, I will sow my seed in this land.
And in this land,
it will germinate.
It will bear fruit.
And it will multiply
to the glory of his most holy name.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord thanks once again. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Now let's share the grace in fellowship quickly.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing.
All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.